The reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 14, verses 1 to 11. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, and I'd like to add my welcome. My name is Graham, and I'm part of the church family here, and we'll be going through these words from John chapter 14 this morning. Well, I don't know about you, but who do you think Jesus is? 21st century London, I'm sure there's going to be lots of opinions. Well, profiles or CVs help us understand more about people. My CV would be a little bit boring. 9 GCSEs, 3 A-levels, university degree, and then the real glamour of 11 years in insurance. Maybe not such a great CV, but what about Amancio Ortega? Left school at 14 to work as a shop hand in a shirt maker. At the age of 38, he opened his first shop by the name of Zara. One shop turns into 6,000, and at his peak, he becomes the richest man in the world, worth $80 billion. Perhaps a little bit more impressive than mine. And there are, of course, many others, from the entrepreneur to the philanthropist. Well, Jesus tells us who he is in our next I Am statement, blowing even the best, most impressive CV out of the water. We've sung it already. I am the way and the truth and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Why don't I pray as we begin? Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can be here this morning, that we can have your word open and we can listen to your words being preached. Lord, we just pray that you would be speaking, that my words would be yours, and that you'd be opening our hearts to receive those now. Amen. Well, we're here in John, where the disciples are in somewhat of a state of shock. The story has turned sour. Jesus has predicted he's going to die. He said that one of his disciples is going to betray him, and that Peter is going to deny him three times. A few big mic drops to digest over what we now know as the Last Supper. They followed him round, left everything behind, and they're now sat there anxious, upset, and wondering what next. Well, we're going to look at why they, and indeed us, can take comfort about our future, because Jesus is the only way to get there, and we can trust him as the source of life itself. Well, please do keep your Bibles open, page 1082. And first, we see Jesus brings comforting clarity of future hope. Well, after all the drama of the night, he carries on in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. The disciples must have breathed a bit of a sigh of relief. The comforting words of Jesus, do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus can see they're getting upset and anxious. He knows their hearts are troubled by all they've heard. But he says, trust in God, trust also in me. He doesn't stop there. He gives them reason not to be troubled. These aren't just empty words. He goes on to say here in verse 2, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? He's starting to let them know he's not just leaving them and going somewhere else and that'll be that, but he's going to be with his Father, and much more, he's going to prepare a place for them. Verse 2. If you're anything like me, you're wholly reliant on Google Maps to get you from A to B. It's in those moments when you lose signal, the panic sets in, and I feel totally lost. But signal comes back, the map reappears, and the destination is known once again. That's what Jesus is doing here, resetting and letting the disciples know, don't worry, I'm preparing a room for you. And to be clear here, Jesus' preparation is more than just clean sheets and a chocolate on the pillow. Jesus' preparation is death on a cross. The sins of the world on his shoulders. Separation from God as the earth turns dark. If Jesus is doing that, you better believe he's coming back for you. For the first time in all of eternity, he doesn't only leave his Father and his home in heaven, but he's going to be separated and cut off from God as the sin of the world is cast on him. If he's doing all of that, he's coming back for you. You see, the comforting, calming words Jesus gives here is that this isn't it. While the disciples then may not have known exactly what Jesus was talking about, we do now. Jesus is saying, there's lots of room in heaven, and your place is prepared. It's ready. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Even in this little glimpse, knowing there's a home with enough space, it's waiting for us. Jesus' comforting words bring calm to the anxious, the downhearted, the downtrodden. Be comforted by this certain hope prepared for you by Jesus. I don't know if you're sitting there thinking, this sounds amazing, but how do I get there? Well, point number 2, he is the only way to get there. Back in verse 4, Jesus tells the disciples, you know the way to the place where I'm going. But in the only way the disciples could do, Thomas asks the simple and obvious question in verse 5, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? So Jesus gives them the CV, which includes the directions. Verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Look no further. Look at me. What he's saying here is revolutionary for these Jewish disciples. Up until this point, the only way to access the Father, to have a relationship with God, was through law and the sacrifice, physically going to the temple. In fact, at that very moment, they were celebrating Passover, the peak event in the Jewish calendar, celebrating and sacrificing as a way to make them right with God, to get to the Father's house. But what Jesus says here completely flips it on its head. Jesus is saying, whether they realize it or not, that you don't need all of that anymore. You don't need the temple, the yearly sacrifice. You don't need a high priest who can go beyond the curtain. No, you want to be with the Father. All you need is me. You want to know the way? It's me and my perfect sacrifice. I don't know how you felt as the passage was read when we got to verse 6. Perhaps confused at the lack of directions to the big villa on the shores of Lake Galilee. Or perhaps slightly put off. Perhaps you could see that Jesus is changing the status quo. What Jesus is saying here is that as much as he's opening God up beyond the temple, there is a qualifier. It's not a free-for-all. It's not an open house, so to speak. You can't just find your way to heaven. Jesus is being definitive. He's being explicit and clear. You want to go to the Father? The only way to get there is through me. I'm aware that this passage is potentially divisive. Certainly, if he was talking to the Pharisees, they would have been taken aback. Jesus isn't mixing his words for the disciples then, or indeed for us now. Jesus is the only way to God. It can be difficult to swallow in 21st century London, but ultimately no other religion or good wishes will provide the certainty of hope with God in heaven, certainty of hope in a perfect future. No amount of wealth, job, or safety in anything in this world will do. Jesus is the only way. Not a mix of this and that. Not Jesus plus, or Jesus and the teachings of ... He is clear in verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus has brought comforting words of future hope. So trust his sacrifice as the way. Thirdly, and finally, we can trust him as the source of life itself. You see, Jesus is the way to God because he is the truth of God and the life of God. As we see here, Jesus is God and all that that entails in truth and life. You see, the authority of his words, why Jesus is able to say this with confidence and conviction, is because he is God. Look down with me at verse 7. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The disciples, again, not being content in what Jesus has said, continue to push. Verse 8, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And Jesus continues over the next verses, driving home time and again that he is God. Again, look down with me, verse 9. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." You see, Jesus has the authority to make this bold claim because of the truth that he is in the Father and the Father is in him. We see throughout John how the words of Jesus back up this unveiling of himself as God. Right from the very beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, to here in chapter 14, he is showing us now and the disciples then that Jesus is more than just another man. He is God. In verse 9 of our passage, Jesus says it of himself, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Verse 10, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me?" Father in me, me in the Father, intrinsically linked, together since the beginning of time, all the authority Jesus needs. You see, you can be told that the restaurant at the Ritz is nice. You can only know it's nice when you've been and tasted for yourself. You want to see God? Look at Jesus. What's more, you don't believe my words? Look at my works, verse 11. Believe me when I say that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. He's saying to the disciples, look, think, you saw me, you are with me. The words I said, the miracles I performed, the lives I transformed, they weren't an average guy. They were the words and actions of God. Go back through John, have a look for yourself, and see not only the words of God, but the works of Jesus. Water into wine, healing the invalid, feeding 5,000, walking on water. It goes on and on and on. Sick well, blind seeing, and even dead people living. The disciples were there, and we can read it now. You see, Jesus backs up his statement of being the only way to God with the indisputable truth and ultimate authority of God himself. We sang with the children earlier, words taken from the 15th century writer Thomas A. Kempis. I am the way and the truth and the life. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no living. He is the way which thou must follow, the truth which thou must believe, the life for which thou must hope. He is the inviolable way, the infallible truth, the never-ending life. He is the straightest way, the sovereign truth, life true, life blessed, life uncreated. Well, what does that mean for us now? For this past week, when dwelling on these verses, I found it immensely encouraging in an age of pandemic and unsettledness to be reminded of the certainty that Jesus brings here. To know that there is a place in heaven. It's secure and no one is taking that away. In the uncertainty of the present, Jesus brings certainty of the future. And what's more, we get there through Jesus. It's not reliant on me, on my good or more probably bad efforts. As Christians, we've accepted the grace of God into our lives, which gives us certainty of hope of our future. So live a life that reflects the security that we have in heaven through Jesus. But also, it's been a great reminder of the person of Jesus. It's easy to get comfortable and familiar with some of the stories, almost caricaturing Jesus and making him small. But these verses remind us exactly who Jesus is. He is God, giver of life. Know that the person of Jesus that you're putting your trust in as way and truth and life is real, and everything he says is true. Be encouraged. Know that you are following and trusting the God who sent his Son as a sacrifice, who dealt with our sin on the cross to make us right with God. If you've had a difficult conversation with a colleague at work who thinks you're outdated or crazy, perhaps you're just not sure if the stories are right anymore. If people at school are teasing you for actually believing this man, and you're starting to think, what's the point? Know that everything he says is true. And that means you're trusting in Jesus, who has prepared a room and will come back and take you to be with him. Take heart and know that he sacrificed everything for you. He will surely come back and get you. Keep trusting. Perhaps you're with us here today and you don't know Jesus, who brings hope as the only way to the Father. Well, it's great to have you. If that's you, I'd encourage you to read the eyewitness accounts. Start with John. He's showing us plainly and simply Jesus' life. Read it. See if it matches up. But know he is clear about who he is. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You want to see and know the Father, you have to go through him. You see, if Jesus is really the only way to the Father, if there is no other way, there's a decision to make. We either accept Jesus as God, as Lord, as perfect Savior and sacrifice, or we don't. We carry on searching for other ways to be right with God, even though the answer is right there in front of us. In difficult, anxious, and unsettling times, Jesus brings comforting clarity about our future, because he is the only way, and we can trust him as the source of life itself. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these words that are rich. Thank you so much for the clarity that you bring. Please help us to trust anew, trust afresh in you as Savior, as sacrifice, as the only way. And help us to live lives that reflect that. In Jesus' name, amen.